Why is robotics so important for humanity? People say that robots will take over all our jobs.
Yes, yes. You know, it's quite interesting. We become aging society, and then lots of elderly people and very declining birth rates. Very few young people, and they can work. So robots can help for elderly people or disabled to include the community. Maybe a robot can help to take a walk or, you know, for elderly people. So it means the good things for robot is like a diversity and inclusion in the community. So that's we developed, I mean, Japanese people like to develop the robots.
Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a vodcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. If you are new to this channel, please consider subscribing to it and hit the bell icon so that you never miss an update. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg. And today, I am privileged to welcome a very, very senior academic professor from Japan, Toshi Takahashi. Toshi, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Ashutosh. I'm greatly honored to take an interview from you. I'm so excited to talk about my, you know, research and anything. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. So Toshi is the professor at the Institute of Artificial Intelligence and Robotics at Waseda University, Tokyo. She's a faculty associate at the Berkman Klein Center, Harvard University. She's the author of the book Towards the Digital Wisdom, and we'll talk about it. And she has held appointments at the University of Oxford and Columbia University. So Toshi, let's talk about robotics and artificial intelligence. You know, this seems to be fascinating everybody right now. Not too many people know enough about it. Everyone says, oh, this is how the world is going to happen in the future. So tell me what, for our, you know, all our viewers and listeners, what is artificial intelligence and machine learning, and why are they used together?
Oh, I see. Okay. Actually, artificial intelligence, it's very broad and maybe umbrella term. And artificial intelligence, so means a kind of intelligence which people made. So, and also we think it's quite similar to human being, human intelligence, or more nature intelligence. Right. And machine learning is one of technique to develop machine to have intelligence.
Okay.
So for example, we produce and reproduce a lot of data every day, like, you know, Twitter or Instagram, or even like transportation or many different kinds of data, like banking or healthcare. And so that is big data, you know, we call. So machine learns from those data, and then machine have some intelligence, and or, you know, machine can suggestion for us.
Right.
So that's a kind of one of technique, and this is quite popular these days. Yes.
Okay. And, you know, I was speaking to some people and they say there's a difference between a strong AI and a weak AI. What is a strong AI and a weak AI?
Oh, I see. Weak AI is more like narrow AI. So it's we use narrow AI for the specific aim, like chess or, you know, AlphaGo or healthcare. And these days we only have this narrow specific AI.
Okay.
But, you know, we human being, we can do a lot of things, multitasking, you know.
Sure.
So strong AI is more like artificial general intelligence. So more like broad, like human being. It's like a human being. And sometimes we say like a super intelligence, or, you know, those super intelligence is much smarter than us. So we are afraid of that.
Right.
But it's more like a science fiction. And we don't know. I mean, because I did interview to expert like Yoshua Bengio or expert from University of Cambridge, you know, those people. And those experts say quite different things. Some people say, oh, you know, it's impossible for us because we even don't know a single neuron. So how can we create, you know, human brain? You know? And but like Yoshua Bengio, he is a father of, you know, artificial intelligence, and he has the Turing Award. And he said that there is no reason we can't understand human brains. But even him, he said, but we don't know, maybe it's going to be 10 years or 100 years. So, you know, people are afraid, artificial intelligence is so scared, like a science fiction film, like a Terminator, or, you know, a robot conquer Earth or kill human being. But it's not, you know, at this moment, at least at this moment, don't worry about it.
And what would you say are some, you know, common examples of artificial intelligence in use that affect, you know, me as a common man?
Well, like me, Japanese, so I'm non-English speaker. It's very difficult to take an interview in English. But so, for example, one brief example is like a simultaneous translation system and multi-language. So if I have multi-language translation system, AI is very, you know, like human, you know, being. Then I speak Japanese, then automatically maybe AI translate in English or in France, you know, in China. So this is quite, because in Japanese, we developed this technology maybe 50 years ago or something. But last 10 years, because of AI, it's quite, you know, it's rapidly, you know, developed very well. We know that the Google translation system.
Absolutely. So now let's move to talk a little bit about robotics. Why is robotics so important for humanity? People say that robots will take over all our jobs.
Yes. You know, it's quite interesting. In Japan, for Japanese people, robots is more like a friend or, you know, help us. But while when I give my talk in UK or in the West, we scared of robot, or, you know, robot take jobs, and, you know, they have more negative feeling while we have more positive feeling because we become aging society, and then lots of elderly people and very declining birth rates, very few young people, and they can work. So robots can help for elderly people or disabled to include the community. Maybe a robot can help to take a walk or, you know, for elderly people. So it means the good things for robot is like a diversity and inclusion in the community. So that's Japanese people like to develop the robots.
Very interesting. And, you know, as you said just now that, in England, people are worried about robotics. Tell me, based on all your experience across the whole world, which are some of the governments that are encouraging use of AI, ML and robotics? And which are some of the governments that are resisting it and why?
Well, I think especially Japan, Japanese government encouraged developed robots. Like we just have a moonshot R&D program that is we thinking about 2050 2050, so 30 years later than and the future society. So now we just started the project, and then I'm involved in this project, and program director is Professor Toshio Fukuda, who is president of IEEE. He's Japanese, actually. So Japanese government really encouraged us to create AI-driven robot. So as I said, that this robot help elderly people, and also maybe wash dishes, or maybe, you know, throw the trash, or maybe shop salesperson everywhere. And so this is Japan. And but on the other hand, I think so last week, I think European Commission proposed the regulation, the first regulation for AI.
Mm.
And so I think European country or EU has a quite power to regulate AI and robots. Because 2 or 3 years ago, I was invited to European Parliament, mm-hmm. and that is talk about regulation about robots and right. AI. And at that time, they said it's too early to regulate because we don't want to stop innovation. Mm. But I was surprised last week they just, I know, they proposed the first regulation. So okay. maybe EU tries to make a rule and globally, not only inside of EU. So of course, the Japanese government, we also have to take seriously and thinking and concerned about ethics and other, you know, things we have to really. Yes.
So tell me, Toshi, what are some of the ethical issues that keep coming up about, you know, AI, ML and robotics?
Well, there are many, many ethical issues, maybe as you know already, but maybe I should, you know.
For our listeners, would love to know.
Yeah, privacy or security or safety or accountability, transparency or human decision, you know, human control of technology. Mm. And there are a lot of things. And especially I'm concerned about, I said that good things is a... positive things is diversity, opportunities, diversity and inclusion. But I think negative risks, the most risks are discrimination or exclusion. So because of data, bias, if you use the biased data, and it's like if even like a human being, if your textbook is biased, then children, you know, run this text, then maybe children have a biased ideas. Mm-hmm. So that's the same things. Machine runs those big data. And if those data have biased, then machine make a decision, suggest a decision. Mm. And then if, you know, human, if we don't really think about it, we just believe, you know, those suggestion, and then we made the decision. This is very, very dangerous.
Very interesting.
So especially like a minority, they don't have so much data from minority or maybe women or maybe global south or, mm-hmm. you know, then if data have only or most data, if most data come from Caucasian and maybe rich people, then if they don't have enough data from mm-hmm. like colored or, you know, Asian,
yeah.
then if we want to apply some job, then maybe AI suggests, oh, you know, Toshi is not good, because they don't have enough data. Maybe she's Asian and women, and no, she's not good.
Very interesting.
So those we really have to discuss, and we should know. So,
and you know, you just mentioned a little while ago that, you know, machines may not develop intelligence in a hurry. But do you really think, you know, when I was a child, and I'm much, much older than you, we used to read all these comic strips, etc., about how machines had developed their own intelligence and had taken over the world. Do you ever see something like this happening in our world?
Nobody knows. That is the answer. Nobody knows. Okay. Even I asked the Nobel Prize award, and he said nobody knows. Because, you know, 10 years ago, we really... you know, didn't know what's happened now, so nobody knows. But therefore, I think, you know, I'm interested in the paradigm complexity and chaos theory. Mm. So it's, you know, like one day, butterfly fluttering in Peking one day, and then 1 month later, a storm in New York, and kind of things. Mm. So if we made a decision, or if we made a wrong decision, or if we don't have a chance to have enough discussion now, then maybe 10 years later, we don't know what happened. So right. Now we really have to, you know, talk about ethical issues and, but also innovation and both. And so what we have to do is now to understand both opportunities and risks, and then we have to take a balance, you know, between opportunities and risk. And it's not only engineers or government, but also even users or us, you know, everybody have to know about AI and robotics, and don't only think about science fiction Terminator images, but I mean, we should know the reality, you know. And then we should know, so we don't know, you know, 10 years later, but then we have to be prepared, you know. And if we don't like it, we should say, no, we don't like these technologies, so, you know.
Very interesting. So, you know, just before we started recording this conversation, you were telling me about some new research that you are doing. Tell me about what you are working on.
Okay, thank you for asking about that. So my first major was mathematics, and then, but I studied sociology in master's, University of Tokyo, and then PhD is London School of Economics and Media and Communication. And now I'm studying AI and robotics. And I really understand we have to work together, both natural science engineers and humanity and social science. So Moonshot, as I said, that program to create a better AI future in 2050. And based, and most people, I mean, in my group, I'm the only person from humanity and social science. And the other person is robotics and computer science and neuroscientist. But I think we really have to work together. And then I truly ask them what to create, what we want, not what engineer want, what we want, I mean, people want. And I said that the human, I'm using the human first approach, and it's the first human first, not AI first, not robot first, human first. But also not like America first or Japan first or China first, but not nation first, but a human being in general first, so globally. And second one is across discipline. So we must work together. Okay. And then the last one, self-creation. We always have to create and recreate ourselves. I mean, like Yuval Noah Harari, he talks about we must invent, reinvent ourselves. Because as you said, that robots or AI might take our jobs, and we might lose our jobs. And then we might, you know, face difficulties. We might lose our identity. But then we recreate ourselves to learn maybe AI or, you know, robots or other things. So creativity for the human beings. AI cannot do that. Only human being can do that. So therefore, three things I think very important. And then what I will do is I set the project again. Genzai means Generation Z, the young people. As young people now in 20s or even like 12. So 30 years later, they become 40s or 50s, you know. So that's why I do research 10,000 young people in 8 countries and in collaboration with Harvard Berkman Klein Center and CFI and CSER of University of Cambridge and Stanford University Social Media Lab. And so we create the questionnaires, and then we ask the needs, what kind of AI do they want? Or what kind of future society they want to create? Or what kind of image they have, you know, about AI, robots, scary or, you know, friend? And also what about risks? And how much literacy they know. So I will do this research. And then after that, we will maybe kind of recommendation for the engineers or maybe AI industries. Mm-hmm. And then we also like to work for AI literacy for people, not only younger people, but people in general. So that is my responsibility, a part of this Fantastic. Project, huge Good. Project.
Good luck. Good luck with this research.
Thank you very much.
But Toshi, now let's move on. And, you know, you've written a book titled Towards the Age of Digital Wisdom. Tell me about this book.
This book is because my dissertation, my PhD dissertation is about young people and media in Japan. And that book, based on my PhD dissertation and theory and concept, but I did a cross-cultural research on young people and how they engage with smartphone or SNS and digital media in US and UK and Japan. And this is kind of a collaborative project with University of Oxford and right. Harvard Bergman Klein Center. So I tried to find the role of smartphone and social media for the young people. And some universalism, they do the same things. Even we live in the different cultures, but they do the same things, and like always on, you know, always we, you know, connect each other. Right. But the reason is come from more kind of specific cultural specificities, more cultural context. So, you know, it's quite interesting, I mean, for young people. So that's why this current research, AI and robotics, so that based on this book, then, so digital wisdom, I call it digital wisdom, yes. So we must have a wisdom, human wisdom, to live in the digital age. So this time I call smart wisdom for to live AI and robot society.
Very interesting. So now coming to the last segment of our conversation, which are a couple of questions for you personally. My first question is that, Toshi, for someone who has achieved so much in life, who's recognized all over the world, from where you stand today, what does success mean to Toshi?
Well, I don't know. I just keep going and going and going. Mm-hmm. So success or failure is maybe just a moment. Mm-hmm. If you take exam, you might success or fail. Mm-hmm. But if you fail, maybe I always think, oh, maybe it's not good for me, maybe somebody else. So then I do, I challenge other things. Mm-hmm. Then I got it. I got job. And then, oh, this is for me. Okay, then I do my best. And then I found something interesting, or somebody invite me to, you know, their project or something. Then I try. So that I keep going. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's a success, but I like is just keep going or challenging. Yeah. So as long as I keep doing, I feel maybe I'm kind of success. But I don't feel I succeed or something. I just keep going.
Very, very well said. And a follow-up question to that is that for anyone also to keep going, my question is, who or what keeps inspiring you?
I mean, anybody who keeps going, you know, as elderly people, even if she's in 80s, but she worked very fast and she starts to run a computer, you know. So, but actually, maybe two or three professors, my first advisors in California, Professor James Lal, he's very positive and he always encouraged me. And he said, life is challenge, you know, Toshi, you have to go. And also Professor of Sonia Livingstone, my supervisor, London School of Economics. She's, really great person. She's a lot of energy and always keep going, you know. So I'm so lucky I met wonderful professor. Of course, many other professors and many other people. But even people, just in front of me walking very like this, and wow, I'm very inspired.
Very nice. Very nice. Very interesting. Yes. Toshi, my last question to you now. You know, for someone who's at the cutting edge of technology, you know, doing some of the incredible work this world needs, what are some of the core values you believe in?
Sorry, but for the technology?
No. What are some of your core values?
Oh, my.
Your core values?
Well, as I said that I'm like, self-creation is my concept I create during my PhD. I had a very hard time. So I always recreate myself. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I have a goal, but I just keep going and I want make a contribution, even little, to create a better society, not inside of Japan, but also globally, because we connect each other. So we really understand mutually. And then, you know, if you next person you don't love or smile, then maybe society is good. I mean, if everybody is smiling, so society is going to be very good. So even like when I give a lecture, I'm happy if my students are smiling. And so that's kind of my goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I remember when I give a lecture about the self-creation in my class, and after the lecture, one female student came to me and she said, "Thank you so much, Professor. Your concept helped me, you know, save me. Self-creation save me, you know," because she doesn't know she can create a recreate herself. She just thought she have to follow tradition. She have to follow parents' ideas, everything. So that may be my goal. I like to encourage people, teach people, and make them smile, maybe.
Wonderful. Toshi, thank you so much. It has been such a pleasure speaking to you. I mean, I think I have learned so much in the last 25 minutes on topics that I don't know anything about. But thank you very much. Good luck with your research and with everything that you're doing.
Thank you so much for giving this great opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.